Hello and welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, your old red lobstered, crispy crittered, fried frazzled and freaked out John Wayne. That's right, here I am, here for you, back again. This week, of course, I'm coming to you from Wayne Manor in the East Wing, nestled in the very darkest, deepest corner of the Library of Evil. Here today, I am very happy to be here this morning. I've got, of course, a trusty pipe of the Grandpappy medicine, some coffee, and just trying to put the pieces together this morning. It's been a pretty great week and a great weekend. I don't know if you can tell I'm a little maybe stuffy and congested. I wish I could tell you that, oh darn, those seasonal allergies. But no, my friends, this is definitely post-party crud, or whatever you want to call it, post-partying. I know that I have said on here, since I came back from BizarroCon in November, I've toned down my partying quite a bit, haven't been drinking as much, haven't, you know, trying to just taper off some things. But, you know, every once in a while, you gotta just, you know, you gotta let yourself go. What's the good of having a massively, you know, performance-driven sports car if you can't open it up every once in a while? I don't know if that makes any sense. I don't know if anything I say makes any sense. But let me, I'll say this. Great weekend. Had a lot of John Wayne is Dead shows. Friday night, we played at Dan Electro's, which is here in the Heights. Shouts out to Scott and John over at Dan Electro's. Always take care of us. Always have us, having us out for great things. So Scott had, I guess, kind of a something fall through or something where he had the whole night open, and then contacted me and was like, hey man, can you guys come fill the whole night for me? I know it's last minute, but you know, if you can, that'd be great. And I'm like, of course. You know, it's in the neighborhood. It's a bar that I like to support because I really like those guys, and I'm glad they bought it. And I've been, you know, seeing them at other bars for years, and now this is their own bar, so that's cool. So Chris Jett, went out. We played three sets that Friday night. After about 2.5 hours of practice, we went to play these sets. We might have had a couple few beers along the way. Nothing crazy. You know, we get there, get to the show, kind of, you know, pacing ourselves. What we wanted to do was just rip our set first, just play our set, and then play covers the rest of the night, which is what we did. But our set's so high energy and so intense that, like, after we were done, I can say I was like, man, we should have done that last, because that was, like, all, like, we already spent all this energy practicing, and now we, like, blew the hugest nut of all first set. And that's not to say the other sets weren't fine, but it was just like, man, it just made for a long night. It felt longer than usual, and we played those four hour shows all the time, and this was only 3 hours, but still, it was good. You know, I'm happy everyone that came out, we had a great time. Always happy to be there, like I said. And we rocked out like crazy, and we stayed out a little bit too late, you know, than we should have. Didn't go too crazy drinking or anything that night, you know, very tempered. I was drinking Coors Originals banquet beer in the stubby bottles, because I just cannot get the Mean Jeans Coors Light song out of my head. If you don't know who the Mean Jeans are, one of my favorite bands out of Portland, they just put out this record of just jingles. It's awesome, and one of them is for Coors Light. And while they had Coors Light at the bar, I didn't drink it because I was like, I saw the stubby bottle, and I was like, you know what? I like that. That's classy. I'm feeling the stubby bottle tonight. So I was just drinking Coors, nothing big, you know. that and water. I had water with a beer every time. You know, of course, Grandpappy's medicine was in the mix. And, you know, we stayed out a little too late. We just had to stop and get some late night eats on the way home from Whataburger. Shouts out Whataburger. And then we slept for right up maybe right at 5 hours, crashed for about 5 hours, Because we had to play Saturday morning. That's right, I said Saturday morning. At an awesome car show that we this is our second year to play it, called Rally in the Alley, put on by the Rumble Cats. It's a car club here in Houston. Shouts out Rumble Cats. Big shouts out to Hollywood. Thank you so much for having us out again, man. We appreciate it. It was a really awesome show. It was easily more than twice the amount of people there from last year when we did the show. So it was packed. But we had to be there at 10 a.m. to load in, because we were supposed to go on at 11, and the bands were like 11, 12, 1. Because the event was only from 11 to 5. So, you know, it's getting packed. We get there, and hey, Cerberus, how you doing? Keep barking. All right, we hear you. Great. So we had to get there early. So we had to get up early, shower, you know, head out to, you know, it was on the north side of town in the Tomball area, if you're familiar with north of Houston. And it's in the old town Tomball area. So everything's like old timey and like all, oh, hello, Sonny, come to Granny's Antiques and we'll make some tea. It's like that kind of shit. But this is like, now it's taken over by like, it looked like the planet of the Fonzies had invaded. Yeah, that's about as close as what I can say, which is cool with me, because I think Fonzie is one of my spirit animals, personally. I like to say that I'm made up of parts Fonzie, Eddie Haskell, and, one of those other ones. I can't remember. Anyway, love the Fonz. Oh, Mick, the boyfriend of Mallory on Family Ties, that guy. If you go check that out on a YouTube clip or whatever, if you don't know who I'm talking about, that's the third part of me right there. That's the triumvirate of John Wayne. I think that's what come together. Fonzie, Eddie Haskell, Mick from Family Ties. So, like I said, like this is all awesome, awesome hot rods, awesome muscle cars, all redone, Cadillacs, all that kind of shit. And everyone's got slick back hair, you know, jean jacket or leather jacket, dark jean. I mean, it's Fonzie, man. It's Fonzie and it's badass. But, you know, it's very odd to see a bunch of Fonzies out in the daytime, like at, you know, 10:30 in the morning. So anyway, that you know, we get there, and I opened my first beer at 9:30 in the morning, I'll say that. I was like, well, Chris, this is going to be a long day. I'm buckling in. I'm going deep. So I had a couple beers before we even really set up there. But we got all set up. Things ran a little bit late just because they were having to get the sound right and everything like that, but it was no big deal at all. Like, worked. It was much better that way, trust me. Just because more people could come in, and it's not like we were rushed. There was only three bands. So the thing about it being a little bit pushed back was when we started playing, it was, you know, just maybe a touch before noon, and the sun was just barreling down, beating right down onto us outside. There was no covering over this stage area that we were at. We were just like completely outside playing. And it's cool. They like have such awesome sound system. It's all professional. So everyone in the whole like event can hear you no matter where they're at. And it sounds great. It sounds like legit sound and everything. So that was awesome. But the lack of covering just really killed us this year. At least me, because as you know or may not know, I am white, Lily White. That's what's on my driver's license. White Lily White burns very, very efficiently, we'll say. Now, I didn't even think about putting on sunscreen or anything. You know, when I showed up, it was kind of chilly. I had my jacket on, my leather jacket. It was a Fonzie convention. But as we started getting stuff out, you know, got a little warmer, I took it off. Of course, I have a sleeveless shirt on because my sleeves have exploded off from my awesomeness. And, you know, we're just going and going, having some beers, having some laughs, you know, maybe a little couple puffer here too, you know, toots and roots, whatever. You get all that going on, and you're really not, you're not feeling everything maybe as much as you should. Or maybe you're just a little bit more tolerant. And by you, I mean me, myself. I really didn't feel like I was getting burned until maybe about the last hour we were there. And it was cloud coverage, at least then. And I was starting to feel like, oh, man, I think I might have gotten some sun. And then people started saying, like, man, you're really red, dude. And I'm like, yeah, I feel really red, you know, but I'm also kind of, you know, feeling no pain. So it was great, but it was a great day. Our buddies in the Nelsons played after us. Check them out. Awesome rockabilly band here in Houston. And then a band called the Go-Getters headlined, which they are from Sweden, but only like the main guy, Peter, I think he played drums and sang, he's here from Sweden, but he had some hired guns on the show with him here for, I guess, the US dates, or maybe just the Texas dates or whatever. One of them was the stand-up bass player. I don't know their names, but I shouts out to them because they were amazing. She I think she plays in a band from Austin called something. I don't know what it is. I'll probably throw up links and if I find what it is. She was great. And then another girl that played guitar, she was playing just a beautiful old Telecaster, just worn in, just like you like them, through and she had an old Fender Twin she was playing through, and then another vintage Fender combo amp, or not combo amp, but a head and an enclosure, and man, it sounded like creamy love. It's so good. It was so good. I just love Telecasters. I love the way they sound. I don't own one, but I mean, they're the best. So that was a treat to see them. That was a really good performance, and all the cars were badass. Had a great time. And then from there, Chris and I went to a party for our friend Twee. Beautiful, sweet Twee. Shouts out. Titties be looking right all the time. It was her birthday, and she had a party. We went out there. There was like 100,000 egg rolls that she made, her and her mom made, like homemade and shit, and rice and all kinds of stuff. But then not just that, like so much food and candies and fucking cakes. Like we were in some kind of strawberry shortcake cartoon episode or something. I don't know. Bounce house outside with My Little Pony on it. I'm not even sure what was going on at that point. I bounced and I housed. But, you know, and then there's Jello shots, and you got to take those because it's Twee's birthday. So, you know, one turns into 12 because those go down easy. And it's pretty much like vitamins because it's, you know, Jello. At least that's what I'm told. So I didn't stay out super late, and I got home fine. You know, I didn't feel that bad. I think I was just amped up from the day of going. You know, I get home. I kind of relax, you know, on the couch, just chilling. Finally, like, kind of sit down for the first time in like just over 2 days, pretty much, and immediately pass out on the couch and wake up like, you know, in the middle of the night or maybe, you know, early morning, go to bed, and this morning here I am, red, raging red rocket, explosively red in every single part of my body that was exposed to the sun. I pretty much should be wrapped up in like some kind of mummified, you know, construct of aloe vera and gauze, and just left to sit in a cooling chamber for the next week and a half or so until it all goes away. But never fear. John Wayne is a professional, always first and foremost, and I will not let a little sunburn and a little party crud get me down at all. So that was the week, and that was my weekend. The week was filled with a lot of great stuff. Shot some really great video things for Neo Benshi coming up. So as you know or may not know, I host Neo Benshi here in Houston. I'm the host of the show, and myself and some other people involved with the show have been putting together some very, very fun things, we think, some universe building around the performances that happen regularly there. So come on out to the Secret Group, first Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m., and which is this Tuesday. So if you're listening to this on Monday when it comes out, on Tuesday, March 6th, come to the Secret Group and check it out. We filmed a lot of sketch things for that, and I'm very excited. That was cool. That was what we did throughout the week. And I had to write some scripts and stuff for some things. So I stayed very busy as far as artistically all week. I mean, I'm, you know, was pretty much running around balls deep every night in something that I had to have a hand in creating, which is amazing. It makes me feel stupendous. Also, big shouts out to everyone that, man, I'm like shout out happy today. Sorry, guys. But I regret nothing. If you follow me on any kind of social media, you probably saw the video that I put out last, Tuesday, advertising a sale from the johnwayneisdead.com website, the shop page on the site, that if you ordered any of my books between, you know, last Tuesday and this Monday, today, if you're listening to this, March 5th, you would get a free Chargeland enamel pin with every book purchase, and plus I also throw in little fun stuff when I send it out to you. And it's gotten a very good response. I'm of course happy if anybody takes notice and would like to you know, get one of my books, but this was a little bit more than it definitely exceeded my expectations, I'll say that. So if you are listening to this on Monday morning, Monday afternoon, you still have till the end of the day, order from the johnwayneisdead.com website on the shop page. It says BCS shop page on there. Order a book, and I will send you a free pin, enamel Chargeland pin, with that, and some other goodies. So, and thank you for everyone that did order, and anybody that has ordered my stuff from Amazon as well. It's very much appreciated, always. So let's go. You know, I've been rambling on here like I like to do. Let's get into our tarot reading for this week, our 3-card tarot reading. Again, another good one. This again, when I was, you know, shuffling the cards, I'm just kind of like, I don't know, you know what, you know, I feel like I'm feeling good. I'm getting that balance a little bit more every day, you know, and things are going well. I've been, you know, been able to use a lot of creative energy lately positively and not been drained per se or feel burnt out on anything. So I've been, you know, feeling good. So just kind of thinking about that, you know, I want to keep this good thing moving and keep, you know, growing and getting better with it. So that's what I was thinking as I was shuffling the cards today. And as usual, I think we got a pretty interesting, at least interesting reading to where I'm relating in my mind. Like, yes, I see that. Yes, okay, that makes me think about that. So without further ado, first card jumping in, I got we drew the Emperor. The Emperor is a father figure. He representing wisdom. He offers guidance and the wisdom that he's obtained through experiences. He brings security, comfort to those around him, structure and stability, and that made me think, like, off the offering of wisdom, the things like I've said in the past, like, you know, being around like-minded people who maybe can, you know, you can benefit from what they have to offer advice-wise. They can benefit from what you have to offer advice-wise. But that's still like a sensitive subject or topic with me, because I don't feel like, you know, my advice is always wanted a lot of times when people even ask me for it, about like writing and stuff. And I don't, it's just almost like they're waiting to either hear what they want me to, what they want me to say, or they're just waiting for me to stop talking so they can talk. So, you know, getting the thing, this makes me think a little bit more about it. You know, maybe I should put a little bit more stock in what I have to advice wise offer. I don't know. I always am just like, I don't know what worked for me. I don't know if it's going to work for you. Now I get a little shaken in that lately with the responses I've gotten. So, you know, that's just like, okay, maybe I need to be more sound in that. He creates order out of chaos, is systematic and strategic thinker, highly organized in his approach, sticks to the plan and sees it out until the end. That's definitely something I strive to do with, you know, in accordance to my, like, you know, career and stuff like that. And sticks to the plan, sees it out to the end. I think that's something I definitely do just as part of my discipline, and something my therapist has brought up to me that, you know, she said a couple of times, like, that's what you do. You don't give up on things or people. You see it out to the very end. You're very loyal that way. So that made me think about that. Now you definitely relate to that. So you have a strong desire to see your ideas manifested on the physical plane in the form of material gain and accomplishment. Well, yes, of course, absolutely. And it's that I have seen that kind of, you know, been happening. It's the beginning, I guess, of that kind of thing happening with, you know, my books coming out, my books starting to sell, you know, the new record with the band. You know, I have these ideas. I've seen them into existence, and now I'm getting them in the place where I'm gonna see the material gain from these things, and the overall gain. And another interesting thing at the end of this, at the end of this kind of car description, it says an opportunity will arrive that could be the foundation of a very successful future, which is interesting, but, you know, because there's a lot of things happening for me right now that are kind of different, and it's like, maybe all of these together are the foundation that I need. It says maintain concentration and focus, and enjoy the assertiveness and confidence that this brings. And I wrote a little note to myself here that this is not hubris. This is worth acknowledging, because as I've also brought up before, my main, just something that I stay mindful all the time of, is arrogance or hubris that brought down the gods. I think that I've taken that to such a place where I feel like if I even acknowledge that I did a good job on something, that's me being arrogant. And I have to break away from that, you know, and I wrote that acknowledging that I did something good doesn't mean I'm being arrogant, or that what I have to say on that subject is, it has value. What I have to say on something that I've accomplished in has value, and I should acknowledge that a little bit more and not worry that I'm coming off as some kind of arrogant prick. Because I think one thing I can say is I'm definitely genuine. You may think that I'm a genuine idiot when I'm out and about, but, and you are definitely right and entitled to that, but at least it's genuine. It's not a put on. I'm not ever putting on airs. If I'm an idiot, I'm just genuinely that. So I think that as long as you keep that coming from a good place, it's fine. The next card I got was the Star. In the background of this card, I thought this was interesting to take note of. There's 8 pointed stars in the sky. 8 represents strength and what you need to accept, which is what you need to accept your faults and love yourself in spite of them. Which, that's a broad statement, yes, something you might get on a fortune cookie, but still something to take note, I thought, and to think about. And also, the Star is the is a symbol for Aquarius, which I am an Aquarius. So there you go. The Star brings renewed hope and faith, and a sense that you are truly blessed by the universe. Courage, fulfillment, and inspiration are in your life. That's true. You know, I mean, that's true. I have, like, you know, especially lately, as things fall into place, I think as I work more to balance things and not spread myself too thin, things are, you know, you could say that is, if you want to say blessed by the universe, well, that's one way to put it, but, you know, it is good, and I do feel a courage, I am fulfilled, and I am inspired right now in a lot of projects, challenging myself with some different things, with some collaborative projects, challenging myself with these different kind of, you know, script work that I haven't really done before, and it's a lot of fun, and I mean, it's invigorating, it's renewing and invigorating. With the Star, it says a better future awaits if you trust that it's possible, and also focus on the transformation into your true self, which I think that's the transformation I've been doing for the past maybe 6-7 years. You know, it's about finding your voice. It's about, you know, discovering who you really are and who you want to be and who you want to be seen as. I think it's confusing for a lot of people. It's confusing for me for a long time. You know, and a lot of, like, you know, just self-doubt or, you know, depressed things or poor self-worth and image keep you from becoming this true person that you need to be. And what I've found, like I've said, I talked about another episode about, you know, fear and kind of releasing fear overall. But it's also, you can't care about what other people think. I know I'm definitely guilty of in the past being like, oh man, what will everyone think if I did this, or if I got this, or wore this, or said this, or wrote this, you know? And that's such a huge form of resistance to have that in your head before you act on anything, to wonder how it's going to be taken. So, you know, and that's what's part of you. Just become that true self you're supposed to be, you know, and then your better future awaits. You have to trust that it's possible. I definitely trust that it's possible every day. In the morning, I give my, you know, fucking walk around as talking to myself, my goofy affirmations, but because I believe that these things are coming, not because you know, they're gonna fall out of the sky onto me, but because I've worked very hard to manifest these things happen. So third card, Two of Wands. I've gotten this card a couple of times. I think it's just a good reminder, as it is dropped into my readings a few times. You know, it represents planning and progressing your ideas now, a feasible plan that will lead to your success. So that's, you know, as I'm still planning and I'm still progressing with my ideas, you know, as far as my writing career, and how do I move the needle on this? How do I make this, you know, how do I transition into the arts being my full-time gig? You know what I mean? So it's like, now I have this idea, I have this feasible plan, and that plan for me is, you know, getting more out there, being at more appearances, conventions, markets, local markets, all traveling, just trying different things. This podcast is a form of that, you know. These are my plans to make my success feasible. This card says it's not just an idea anymore. Now it's a plan to ensure it's carried out as you intended. Which is kind of what I just said. You know, it's not, these things aren't ideas anymore. I've definitely put a plan together, and the plan is in action. It says explore new experiences, step out of your comfort zone. You will now consider long-term goals and plan what needs to be done to achieve them. So just like I said earlier, step without, you know, being kind of challenging myself and stepping out of my comfort zone as far as the projects that I am taking on, that I am dedicating my kind of focus to. And you know, the long-term goal, consider the long-term goal. What the long-term goal looks like is this every day, doing these things, you know, talking to you guys about crazy gigs, you know, for days in a row, and then writing scripts that are going up on stage the next day, and then writing my, you know, and then I go to this convention, and then I go to the next one. That's what the long-term, those are the things that the long-term, that's the long-term goal, and these are the things that are leading up to that being a long-term goal. By that, I mean what I'm doing right now. All of these things that I've been doing will lead up to that one day, and I believe that. So there we go. So that's my reading for this week. Nothing too like, ooh, but just but a very, very cool nonetheless. So thank you guys for that. Again, as I've been mentioning every week, to just, you know, kind of, I'm going to shout out my kind of book of the week or whatever, artist of the week to check out. And this week, one of my favorite writers, Anderson Prunty, had a new book come out on Otto Press called Failure as a Way of Life. Like I said, it just came out. I ordered mine. It's on the way. And I'm looking forward to reading it, as I look forward to reading all of Andy's books and enjoy them very much. So please check that out, Failure as a Way of Life, from Anderson Prunty on Otto Press. So you can get that from the Otto Press website or from Amazon. And Otto is, it's A-T-L-A-T-L. For the longest time, I had no idea what the fuck it was till I actually heard them say it. He and Carrie say it out loud, and I was like, oh, that's what it is. But anyway, so check him out. Again, one of my favorites. So, you know, leading right on into our story today, you know, I guess just talking about how I was, you know, kind of partying the last 2 days, and I'd said, like, yeah, I've kind of been tapering down my partying and that kind of thing, and I have, but several years ago, I was kind of in the throes, or whatever you will, of some partying, And you know, sometimes when you're doing that and you're out somewhere and you have these ideas that come into your head and you're like, oh, that would be hilarious if I did that. And you know really that if you were in your right mindset, you would never think that was funny. Like it's only funny in this like very, very specific controlled scenario in your mind, but in reality, it's never going to play out like that. But when you're a little bit impaired, that shuts off and you're just like, of course this will be funny. And you do that thing. So that's what this story is about today. And I'm going to call this story No One Thinks You're Funny. So this was about 7 or 8. No, not now. I'm sorry, I'm lying to you. This was maybe about 5 years ago. Shortly after I had, you know, of course, like as I've talked about before, my had my whole life kind of shaken up a little bit, a lot of bit, by, you know, being separated from my wife and then, you know, divorcing, moving into a new house, like just kind of a whirlwind of change. And I felt like I was dealing with it pretty well. I still think I did for the most part, but I never went off the rails out of control. But you know, it was just really easy to start having a couple beers and you know, whatever else leads down the line from that. And just to and it was becoming like an every night, like let's party every night type of thing, you know. I got horrible short amounts of sleep because I was working at Starbucks at the time, so you know, I would have to get up at 3:15 in the morning, and then I, you know, and if you're out till like 11, even 11:30 or 12, you're like, oh, that's not too late. But when you have to get up at 3 o'clock and you're drinking and hanging out, you know, and then you just kind of get up and you run on fumes and caffeine and just then you keep going. Anyway, this was one night I'm out hanging out with my now fiance Katie, fiance, and my good buddy. I probably doesn't want his name used in this, but good buddy of mine, and we were going. Well, first we were just hanging out for the afternoon. We were at a local bar in our neighborhood that we went to a lot, and you know, craft beer bar. So if you're into craft beer or whatever, you know, they tend to have a higher alcohol percentages than in your regular, you know, Coors Light, as the Mean Jeans would say, the light of their life, Coors Light. So I just remember we went there and, you know, we started the night there drinking beers, or not even the night, the afternoon. I'm not trying to lie to you. Afternoon, we start drinking beers. You know, they're going down good. Of course, I'm smoking, you know, whatever. Bowls and however many bowls of Grandpappy's medicine. I'm not sure if I might have. Trying to think. I think I did take a some maybe like a half a Vicodin or something in there somewhere. You know, which is always a good idea. And then the piece de resistance was we had some mushrooms somehow. And it was just like, oh yeah, I'll just take some of these too. And I just took a handful of mushrooms and shoved them in my face. And this is all just in the time that we're sitting at the bar, right? Now it's starting to get into the evening, and our friends that are in a band called Downfall 2012, which is an excellent, excellent band, you know, hard rock band here out of Houston, Texas, but they tour all over the country. I've talked about them before. They were having a show at one of the local bars in their, you know, where they live, over in the Humble area, and they do these shows where they play cover stuff, like just like John Wayne is Dead does. You know, we play our originals and covers all night because that's how we make a lot of money. So they were doing one of those shows at one of their local bars, and we, you know, in the course of the afternoon to evening, you know, drink-a-thon or whatever the hell else we're doing, we decide like, hey, let's go up to the Downfall show tonight and hang out there. Like, excellent. So I'm clearly to the point of like, you know, I definitely not operating a motor vehicle. My friend was not that, he wasn't even doing half the amount of things I was. So he drove us and Katie, and we went up and we went up to the show. And, you know, of course, I've got to, for whatever reason, you know, I have to keep this train going. So I'm like, I smoked some more on the way up there. Now everything's starting to kick in, the Vicodins, the mushrooms, and of course, all the beers and weed and everything is just like creating this, you know, what you I think is an awesome like thing in my head, but it's just slowly stripping away all capacity for, you know, any capacity for right doing. You know, everything starts to be just even more just murky, even more fuzzy. The lines between everything are blurred. And I don't mean that in a physical sense, like how you see. It's just like, it's weird. So, you know, we get there to the show, and then, of course, start having some beers. And this bar has, like, those, you know, they give you the big, like, 22-ounce schooner, whatever the fuck it is, big glass, and for cheap, because, I mean, this is, you know, out in the kind of suburbs and shit like that, so it's cool. Price-wise, bad if you're just going to drink a whole bunch, which is what I was doing. So I get, I don't know how many of these I've had, but I'm on one, and I have to, at this point, tell you that most of it from here on, this part of the story particularly, is from recovered memories, flashes of recovered memories, and then what was told to me the next day as to how I behaved or what happened. So we're at the bar, and this is like one of those kind of ice house type bars where they have the roll up doors, so you're kind of like inside outside type thing. And I'm standing like kind of out right at the door with Katie and my very good friend Markeisha, who I love very much. She's there, always great to see her. So we're talking, and I step through the garage door down, like out to the outside part, and stumble. And Katie and Markeisha are talking, and Markeisha's like, "Oh man, I thought the way you like stumbled, I thought you were just gonna like dump that beer right down the front of my shirt." And in my mind, when I heard that, my thought was, man, if I did do that, it would have been so funny, right? Right? So, I took my fresh, brand new 22-ounce, big, whatever piss beer I'm drinking, and without even missing a beat, dump it right down the front of Markeisha's shirt, which, you know, is a low cut, like whatever. She's got some cleavage showing. I just dumped the whole thing down there, laughing, because I already know how funny it is. I'm just waiting for the roar of laughter from around me, and like everyone, ah, ha, 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 ha. And then Markeisha just, you know, put her hand on my shoulder and go, "Oh, John Wayne, you are the living end." And then it'd just be like, bum, 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 credits. And then I just, you know, there it is. It didn't really happen like that. I did that. I think Markeisha was so shocked at the moment. She was like, "What the fuck, John?" Like, and then Katie was like, "What the hell are you doing?" And it kind of like, there was no roar of laughter. You know, the band's playing inside, so it's not like I had everyone's attention on me, but the people around us were kind of like, everyone didn't stop to laugh and join me in the funny moment I was having, and they were just kind of like stopped and got quiet as like, "What the fuck is this guy doing?" And then I was told, like, Markeisha went straight to the women's room and was like trying to like wring her shirt out and like to try it. And I apparently followed her into the ladies' room. Now, because now I'm like, I was still laughing apparently, but I'm now trying to apologize as well, because I realize it was a fucked up thing to do. And she's like, "Get out of here. You can't get out of the bathroom." So I come out, and then I really don't remember anything after that. I remember standing there, watching the band maybe for a little while. I don't know who went in the bathroom with Markeisha or anything. And then I remember that I was put in back of my buddy's car, and I just was passed out in the back seat for the entire ride home. blacked out, I guess, because I was pretty blacked out during that whole evening, like I said, patches, especially later on, especially when I did this awful thing that I thought was so funny. Get up the next day, I don't think a second thought about it. I don't even think about it. I don't even remember it. I go through the whole day on Sunday. I get in bed. I'm laying in bed, like, reading or whatever, about to go to sleep. It's just about 11 o'clock, and I get a text from my buddy Danny, who was in Downfall 2012, he and Markeisha were together at that point, at this time, and he texts me and just says, "Hey, bro, any recollection of dumping a beer down Markeisha's shirt last night?" And when I read that, the memory of me doing that hit me like somebody came up behind me and hit me in the back of the head with a baseball bat, pretty much. I was just like, whoa, oh, shit. I did do that. Oh, my God. And, like, I felt so bad. Like, it was just a horrible feeling. And I texted him, like, "Oh, my God, dude, I'm so sorry. I just remembered when you told me that I did that. I was blacked out. That I know that's not an excuse. I am so, so sorry." And he, like, responded, like, "Well, Markeisha's pretty upset about it, so you probably should apologize to her. I understand, bro, it happens. And, you know, it's not like you do stuff like this all the time. We thought it was pretty out of your character, so we imagined you were drunk, but it was just still a little upsetting." So that even makes you feel worse, because it's not like they're like, "You know, you're a fucking idiot. You do this shit all the time. Get your shit together." You know, it's kind of like when your parents say, "I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed." You know, it was like one of those things. So then I text Markeisha, and I'm like profusely apologizing over text. I feel so bad. She's like, "Oh, don't, I mean, not," you know, she accepts my apology. She's like, "You know, it's fine. I know you were drunk. We just, you know, Danny and I both said it was way out of your character to do something like that. And we just, you know, we're kind of actually worried about you a little bit." And then that made me feel even worse. So I felt so bad. I barely slept that night. I got up to open them, you know, the next day. I was working at Starbucks. Soon as I got off, I called Markeisha on the phone to apologize to her again and tell her, like, "Please let me make this up to you. I have to, like, let me take you to lunch this week, please." So she agreed to let me take her to lunch, and we had, you know, we had a very nice lunch, pizza and beers, all of which went into my mouth, down my throat, not down anybody's shirt. And but man, it really bothered me for a long time, to the point of where Danny and Markeisha were making jokes about it like months later, and I still was just like, all I felt was like shame. It took me a while to laugh, be able to laugh at it, you know, or you know, do like the fake, like, "Oh no, here I am, burnt you down your shirt," you know, with a beer. I couldn't even joke about it because I felt so bad about it. But now, you know, I guess I can look back at it and it's funny. And now, 5 years later, and we still talk about it. But it really did spin me out into a bit of a dark place where I was like, dude, that's not cool. I mean, Markeisha is someone that I love and care about. Why would I, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why would I think that was funny? And it's because I was just fucking, all of my shit was clouded and crazy and weird. And I guess I say all this to say, you know, I'm not against that kind of stuff, like party. You know, you guys know I like to party, and that's just it. But you really gotta pay attention. You really gotta throw that governor on there and pull back sometimes to really get a perspective. And if you know when you've gone a little too deep and are able to pull back, that's great, because that's being very self-aware, I think, which is what I did, but barely able to do. But man, I guess also, like, if you have a friend that's kind of reaches out to you maybe and says, like, because you can't see that this is happening, maybe instead of getting like defensive and pissed right away, take a few minutes or hours or days to think about some of these things and get perspective. And if you think your friend's being an asshole, then be like, "Yeah, fuck you, asshole. You're just a fucking square. That's all. You're trying to ruin my good time." But maybe they're right, and you know, you don't necessarily have to stop partying altogether, but maybe just stop, you know, pouring drinks on people's tits. I don't know. All right, there you go. No one thinks you're funny, especially when you're dumping beers down people's shirts. So, yeah, so there you go. I just kind of wanted to talk about partying, since this is a long weekend of partying for me, and made me think of some of those times when I party even harder, and it's really good to get that perspective, I guess, a little bit. So there you go. So as usual and always, I thank you guys so much. All the new listeners that I've gotten lately, you know, like I mentioned before, got my numbers updated from the great and powerful Brenda Valdivia over at the Mockingbird Network here in Houston, Texas, on which this program runs and is aired from. And, you know, I showed a pretty big increase. So I really appreciate those new guys out there listening, and new people, and the old people, the newbies, the old bees, the all bees, the would bees, the who bees, and especially the boobies. Anyway, I really appreciate it, guys. Tell your friends, subscribe, pass the word around, and don't forget to check out all of the things that I do over at johnwayneisdead.com. We've got even more John Wayne is Dead shows coming up. March 15th, we'll be at the Spruce Goose, which is the newest, hippest, coolest venue in Houston. Just opened last night, actually soft opening, Friday night. And we're one of the first shows. We're opening for a band called the Dead Neighbors from Athens, Georgia, and we're playing with an awesome band from here in town called Bernie Pink that I enjoy quite a bit. So it's going to be a great show. We got that, plus all of my reading events, all of my con appearances that are coming up soon. And don't forget, like I said, go to the shop page there on johnwaynesdead.com. You can get any of our records, t-shirts, and stuff like that, but you can also get my books directly from me. And like I said, by the end of the day, March 5th, Monday, I'll send you a free Chargeland enamel pin with every book ordered. So check that out. And always, you know, you can always get my stuff on Amazon and Kindle. Any bit of support, I truly, truly appreciate. Even if it's just sharing the podcast, everything, you know, a lot of self-reflection lately. Very, very appreciative for everything. And any support. So thank you, guys. Don't forget to also check out my man Andy Anderson Prunty's new book, Failure as a Way of Life, out on Audible Press this week. It's going to be great. And, you know, let's all just keep being awesome and having a great week. And, yeah, let's keep our beers in our glass and in our own mouths, in our own bellies, and knock down... you know, shirts of women or men, or poured on top of animals, or, you know, even wasted on the ground. You know, we don't need to pour a little liquor out for our dead homies anymore. You know, we need to drink that liquor, because that's what they would want. I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, thank you guys so much. Check it out. Pick up one of my books. Come to a John Wayne is Dead show. Subscribe to the podcast, and I will see you next week. Bye. Mockingbird Network.